We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Zach, how you doing?
Doing well, Bull. How are you?
Good, man. You know, before we get to the innings, we were talking about, I was trying to figure out how often a team is allowed 1,000 runs in a season, because the Orioles are on pace to allow 1,030 runs this year. Which is remarkable, and the most since 1930 is the 96 Tigers, 1103, and then the second most is the 99 Rockies at 1,028. So the Orioles are on pace to have the second worst pitching staff since 1930.
It's so funny you mentioned that. I always get lost on Baseball Reference. Like, I'll look at a player and then look at other teams and other players and stuff. Like, 2 weeks ago, I was looking at the 99 Colorado Rockies, and I was marveling at their offense and all these guys hitting 35 home runs. And, like, I think it was Todd Helton hit like 379 that year. And I just scrolled down. I'm like, what pitchers did they have? This team wasn't very good. And I noticed that, like, the best pitcher on their staff had an ERA of 5.
Yeah, right.
I think it was, their ace was Pedro Estacio or something.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And their
him.
Team ERA was like 6.5. And I know they're playing in the thin air over there, but yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and this Orioles team is so bad. But anyway, let's get to last night, okay? All right, first of all, it's been two sloppy games in Citi Field. I was half joking, half serious that the Indians were spending way too much time in New York. And if you think about it, they had from like Sunday at 5 p.m. until like Tuesday at whatever time they got to the ballpark to be in New York. And unlike in Cleveland, Zach, baseball players on the Indians, except for maybe Puig, could disappear in a crowd in New York easily. Are we worried that there was too much partying in New York?
No, I'm not worried about that, but I will say, you know, they played 37 games in 38 days.
Yeah.
And then that ended
tough
with Monday's off day.
Yeah.
And, like, New York is probably the worst place you could have an off day where you need to just rest and recover and put all of, you know, the stress and the pressure you've had behind you. I mean, look, they were due for regression. I mean, they were the best team in baseball for more than 2 months. Like, they're going to have a week where they just don't play well. But the frustrating part is that when they've lost games recently, they're all winnable. I mean, yeah. I know the first game in New York ended up being pretty lopsided, but they were tied in the sixth inning. And who knows what happens if Mercado catches that fly ball or, you know, things go a different way. So it seems like every time they lose now, you can point to a couple just small but critical mistakes, and that's why they've had a lot of 1-2-run losses lately.
A lot of that has to do with the bullpen and Brad Hand specifically, which we'll get to in a minute. But let's go to the bottom of the 10th. All right? They have runners, the Mets with runners at the corners, one out. The corners are in, Zach, and I was screaming about this before. Everybody was yelling at Brad Hand that he's got to cover first. My take was, you've got the corners in. You got to go home with that. And I don't know about you. You're at the game. I'm not. I'm watching it. And I watched the replay 6 times. I watched the Mets broadcast and the Indians broadcast. And I am convinced, and I think Francona said this last night, that Brad Hand would not have beaten Conforto to the bag. I think Santana should have gone home. What do you think went wrong there?
Yeah, and it wasn't just Tito. All the players said they expected Santana to throw it home too. It's tough because the instant you notice Santana not going home, I think everyone needs to kind of change what they're doing, and they reacted too slow. But it's you think about it, and it's like, okay, you walk Alonso to set up the double play. And I know, like, your middle infielders are in double play depth, and
yes.
That's, but like, you got exactly what you were looking for. And so whatever the case was, I don't know, and we'll – I'm sure it'll be digged into more today, but like, you need to know, like, what was the sign given? Like what did each person do? If that ball hits a third base, is Jose Ramirez supposed to throw it home, or is he supposed to throw it to second? You know, the middle infielders are clearly trying to turn two. If it's like a squibber in front of the plate, like, are you throwing to second? Are you going back to the plate? I mean, everybody has to know their own role, what they're doing. And then everybody needs to know what everyone else is supposed to do. I mean, it's kind of like blocking assignments in football.
Right.
And they're just clearly, they weren't on the same page. and that's how you end up with, you know, exactly what you were hoping to get, but not able to convert it.
We're talking with Zach Meisel. Zach, obviously, Brad Hand has been one of the best relief pitchers in baseball for a number of years now. Was maybe the best relief pitcher in baseball the first half of the season. And he has struggled for probably a month at this point, and certainly his last few outings have just been disastrous. What do you do? I feel like you got to stick with him, Francona said, and I agree. I don't think they can win if Hand doesn't turn it around. Do you give him a breather from the closer's role? I would stick with him there. What would you do?
So that's the key, is that there is not some savior waiting in the wings to take over the ninth inning. And no, Carlos Carrasco, is you can't just put that on him.
That's
right now.
That's not fair, yeah.
Even if he's throwing 96, 97. So it's a help that you have Kansas City and Detroit coming up on the schedule. You know, let him pitch in safe situations in those series and maybe build his confidence. But you're right. It's like, okay, well, if you demote him to the sixth or seventh inning, well, you're still going to put him in a close game, right? And it's, you know, I know that it's different than the ninth, but it's still pressure-packed. And or if you just pitch him in blowouts, well, then what happens if the person you put in the ninth inning, that doesn't work out? Then when do you go back to Brad Hand?
Right.
Who do you go to next? I mean, you open Pandora's box if you just completely run away from him right now. And I'm not saying that they don't need to at least take a step back and maybe change something, but he's still throwing hard. In fact, he's throwing as hard as he has all season. This is clearly between the ears and mechanically with his lack of command. He can't put his slider where he wants to. So it's tough, but it's not like this isn't Cody Allen hitting a cliff and his career basically ending before our eyes. This is a guy who just needs to tweak a couple things and then get back to what he was doing. It's just could not have come at a worse time. Or I guess it could have come at a worse time if it was, you know, a few weeks from now when they're playing the Twins. But
no, it's a great point. I think you're dead on about the between the years thing, because when J.D. Davis comes up in that inning, I don't know about you, I was convinced he was going to win the game. Brad Hand looked defeated at that moment to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is, first of all, if Brad Hand goes and tries to cover first base, I don't even know if he's going to beat the runner to the bag.
Nope.
But even if, like, it still doesn't take away from the fact that Rosario was just sitting on a fastball in that first at-bat and drilled a double to center field. Like, he's hittable right now. And I think guys can sense that. I think the lack of confidence is very apparent. And if he falls behind in a count, most dominant relievers are two-pitch pitchers. Well, if he can't throw his slider for strikes, and it's tough to do anyway because there's so much movement, then you just sit on that 94-mile-an-hour fastball, and every hitter in the major leagues can hit that. So he becomes very predictable and much easier to hit when he's not commanding, and that's what we've seen for a few weeks now.
Obviously, Zach, the offense has improved since the trade of Trevor Bauer, and Bauer, frankly, hasn't pitched well for Cincinnati. But one of the things you thought was, okay, you get Kluber back. It looked like if he had pitched well in his last outing that he could come back this weekend against Kansas City and have seven starts before the playoffs. Obviously, with an oblique injury, that's not going to happen. They're going to reevaluate in 2 weeks. You know, with this kind of injury, I find it impossible to believe he's going to pitch again this year. Do you think he is done for the season?
I'm skeptical. I mean, I think back to Justin Masterson in 2013 when he suffered pretty much the same injury. I think it was September 2nd, and he came back on September 25th. But he came back as a reliever, and the difference there, yeah, he was only gone 3 weeks, but he also wasn't coming back from 4 months off with a broken arm. So it's so difficult because I think we all expected, even if that was Kluber's last rehab start on Sunday, we all expected him to be rusty. And it was good timing that he would come back and face Kansas City and then Detroit.
Yep.
And then you can take the training wheels off and let him pitch against some tougher competition. But I think you can probably eliminate him being a starting pitcher the rest of the season, right? I mean,
easy,
I think what they're going to have to do is just pray for September to get here as quick as it can so that they can expand the roster, add a bunch of pitchers, and then not require Zach Plesac to go seven, not require Adam Plutko to go through an opponent's lineup 3 times, and you can piece it together. You know, maybe Plesac gives you 4, Kluber eventually gives you an inning or 2, Carrasco gives you, and you just try to make it work like that. They're going to have to do that now, but I don't even know if Kluber's going to be a part of that.
No.
If he can't pick up a baseball until September 1st or 2nd, and then you got to start ramping things up again. But also the minor league season ends, so you can't go pitch in minor league games. It just makes it really difficult. Yeah. And I don't know. I think if you're the Indians at this point, and they won't know more for a little bit, but right now you're probably just saying anything you get from him would be a plus, but you're not banking on it.
We're talking with Zach Meisel. Zach, you mentioned Carrasco before. I fans asking for him to be the closer. That's completely unfair. I mean, that's ridiculous. But eventually, I'm guessing they're hoping, as long he continues to recover, through 97 the other day, that he could contribute somewhere in the bullpen. They wouldn't change that plan because of the Kluber injury, right? Carrasco's not going to be able to go more than an inning or two, right?
He's going to remain a reliever, but it's the thing that changed, the thing that opened everybody's eyes was how hard he was throwing the other night.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see how hard he throws tonight because, it was his first time back in a game, first time pitching in front of fans. He was pumped up for it, and he admitted he was emotional. And so, you have a little extra adrenaline. Will he still have that tonight? Will he still have that, in his first, in his second or third outings with the Indians? That's what will be interesting to monitor. But I think the second the Indians saw he was throwing 97, I think for a while they were going along with this rehab plan because it was good for his mental state.
Right.
It was good for him to stay active and stay motivated, and it made him happy to be around the team every day and to at least have a goal in mind of, hey, I'd like to make it back to pitch this year. They never expected him, they weren't saying, hey, we're going to get Carrasco back in September, so that'll be a huge addition. Because like you said, that's not fair to a guy going through what he's gone through. But if he's throwing 96, 97, and he says he feels great, they still have to monitor, his body every day because of everything he's been through. He's lost a bunch of weight. Still, this fight isn't over by any means. But if he says he's fine and he's got the stuff to do it, there's no reason why he can't contribute to the bullpen. And they'll just, you give him a little bit of a tougher task each time out and see if he can pass it.
All right, 35 games left. The Indians are three games back of the Twins. As we know, the Twins have a much more favorable schedule the rest of the season. Indians are a half game up on both Oakland and Tampa Bay. If you had to bet today, the Indians win the Central, win a wild card, or out of the playoffs, what would you bet?
I would say a wild card. I mean, I've been saying that the whole second half just because it's the safer bet. The schedules, as much as I like to say that we overblow the schedules and we don't really consider the team we're talking about. We only care about who they have to face.
Right.
It is a factor because the Indians are tired. They're beaten up. But more than anything, I mean, it's the six games against the Twins. Like that's your one chance where you control your own destiny. And
you think they got to win five or six of those games? Is four enough?
I think five would be ideal.
Yeah.
But also, I know the Twins' schedule is easier. And they have a ton of games against the Royals and the White Sox and the Tigers.
Yep.
The Indians have a bunch too, but it's the Indians have gone through the gauntlet. Like it's only going to get a little bit easier from here. So I think the Indians will end up with a wild card, but I really do think this is going to come down to that final week.
Yeah, you look after the Twins and Indians play that second series in mid-September. The Twins play only the Tigers, the Royals, the White Sox in the final 2 weeks. The Indians play one series with the Tigers and one with the White Sox, but they play Philly and Washington, much better team. So I think by the end of that second series, the Indians have to be ahead of the Twins to win the division by the end of that second Minnesota series.
Yeah, they can't slip up. Like when they're in Detroit next week, like that has to be a sweep. You're right, they have to make their move early in September and go into those Twins series that stretch like six games in 9 or 10 days where they can say, all right, if we control these next 10 days, we basically control our destiny so that if you play well down the stretch, it's fine and you don't have to make up any more ground. But it's easier said than done, but this is so different than the last few seasons. It's a little weird.
Any chance that the Indians do not pick up Corey Kluber's option?
I'm going to say no just because, and I know he won't have a ton of trade value, but maybe he would mid next season. And I don't think they're going to spend money. I think if anything, it'll be status quo
Well, but they'll if you do the additions and subtractions, you have about $17 million to spend, right?
That's 17. What I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, you remove Kipnis, you remove Bauer from the equation.
Probably Salazar too, Zach. Probably.
I think so. If they haven't submitted the paperwork for a non-tender yet, it's coming any day now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would think they'd pick it up. I mean, it's such a far fall to go from wanting a major haul for him, 8 months ago to just letting him walk. I don't think you can take that sort of risk.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad because in a way, if he had come back and pitched well, you could argue it would have made a lot of sense to pick up the option and trade him this offseason and gone with Carrasco and Clevinger and Bieber, Savali and Plesac, next year, which would be, pretty good rotation.
I think that was the plan.
Yeah.
But obviously a setback doesn't help. But,
no.
You know, who knows? Maybe there's some team that, there's always a team like the Reds who for some reason wants a rental pitcher and will overpay for it. But, I think he's going to have to build up his value. And I think the Indians are probably a little gun shy on just letting someone like that walk when they have the power to keep him.
So, it's a last thing, Zach. So it's obviously a bizarre road trip to spend 8 days and change in one city. And you guys, reporters, are doing it as well. Are you enjoying your time in New York? Have you had some good pizza? Have you had a knish? What are you doing?
Nobody ever cares about the reporter's lifestyle.
I do, Zach.
Right?
I do.
I mean, everyone, So, no, I mean, it's tough. We don't have time to enjoy ourselves, really. You try to sightsee a little bit, but people think we just go to the ballpark at 7 and leave at 10. It's not the case. So it's tough, and it's late nights. And the other thing is it just takes forever to get around. So
you're taking the train, though, no?
Yeah, it still takes a while, though, and so that occupies a lot of your time.
Yeah.
It's a long time. And in the summer, it's hot. And it's
always
so many
hot.
People. And I just know Paul Hoynes went to Times Square the other night.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
He almost had an anxiety attack.
What a tourist move to do. Don't go to Times Square. What's the matter with him? I'm going to have to yell at him next time I see him.
Yeah. So,
all right.
we're used to 2 or 3 days in a city, and then when you're there for a week or so, it's I think you get to a point where you feel like you're ready to go home.
Yeah, I get it. Zach, appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, Paul.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.